Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We're on ESPN. You were presented by Progressive Insurance, and Harry Douglas is in for Jay today. It's a tale of two cities, the best of times, the worst of times. Last year, best of times in L.A. for the Rams, won the Super Bowl, worst of times for the Giants, another miserable losing season. And now this year so far, now, not that the Giants are going to go on to win the Super Bowl or the Rams are going to be bad, but the Rams just got waxed by
the
Cowboys.
The Rams are bad.
But we'll see how it all pans out by the end of the year. Rams just got destroyed by that Cowboys pass rush, and the Giants just beat the Packers in London. What a difference a couple of months make.
But, Max, I got to ask you, do you really, watching the Rams, do you really think they're going to get better?
Well, they have real problems, and the problem is no OBJ, no Robert Woods, no Andrew Whitworth. I don't know how you
– No Von Miller.
So the pass rush not the same. The protection for the quarterback's not the same. You're not going to be able to run the ball the same. You're not going to protect the quarterback the same, and who he's throwing to isn't the same.
Cam Akers doesn't look like Cam Akers of the second half of the season from a year ago, that's for sure.
Correct.
Sean McVay is – I mean, he's up at night right now. He's staying up at night. He's got to figure out how to get the football to other people outside of Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is productive. There's no question about it. And he gives them opportunities to win games. But you got to find somebody else. You got to develop another guy. I don't know who that other guy is, but it's not what they have currently on the roster.
And that's the Rams, right, who've already done a whole lot recently. The Giants don't have any receivers on the roster either, and they're making lemonade out of lemons so far. Let's be honest. Like, they are from a team that – think of how miserable the Giants were just last year. They switched coaches, how the Rams are on top of the world. The Rams had an embarrassment of receivers. They signed OBJ. Oh, it turns out we need him because Robert Woods got hurt. No problem. OBJ's on his way to winning the Super Bowl MVP. Gets hurt. No problem. We still got enough to win. Giants had nobody. We're going nowhere. No coach. No nothing. And then you blink. They ain't got a receiver. Who's their top receiver right now? And yet Daniel Jones, under the guidance of Brian Daboll, and Wink got the defense playing, and Saquon's return, it's a new day for the Giants.
The Giants might actually be good. They were, last week, if you remember, they were number 9 in my power ranking, which changes from week to week, obviously. I may have 10 teams 1 week, 6, 7, 5, whatever I decide to do. Yeah. But they hit the 9th spot. Then they go out and they beat the Green Bay Packers in London, something I didn't think that they would be able to do. Mm-hmm. I just didn't. I thought Green Bay was a much better football team. But did I underestimate the Giants just based on where we looked at them coming into the season at? Mm-hmm. And saying, this team, new coach, the quarterback, no fifth-year option. Saquon Barkley, no fifth-year option. Who are the receivers? Did we underestimate them? Are they actually really a much better football team than what we gave them credit for at the start of the season?
But I think rightfully so, though. When you have a season like the Giants had last year and then years prior to that, we can only go by, you know, what they displayed and gave us to go off of. Now, I would say you take a few weeks back to Monday Night Football. We got to remember now, this Giants team, if the receivers can catch a cold and hold on to the football, if the offensive line can block just 10% more, they may have beat the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. So I think Brian Daboll and the job that he's been able to do and have the mindset, okay, we're not going to focus on who's not playing or who's not here, but what do we have here with us right now? How can we make this work? How can we put ourselves in positions to win football games? And when it gets to the fourth quarter, can we push through and go ahead and do that? They've been able to do it so far this season. That's why they're 4-1.
And I hate to sound like a broken record on this, and it's not the sexy, glamorous thing to talk about, but guys, I don't care how much football changes. To me, it still comes down. The most important place on the field is the offensive line to me. If you have an offensive line, you have a running game. If you don't, you don't. I don't care who your running back is. If you have an offensive line, you have a passing game. If you don't, it's very hard. I don't care who your quarterback and receivers are. It's hard. The Giants early on looked like, look, their offensive line, Evan Neal, of course, a rookie tackle on the right side against that Dallas pass rush. You knew he was going to have the Eagles drafted that tackle back in the day, and he went up against the Giants pass rush and got used, right? Like, that's what's going to happen. You put a rookie there. But Evan Neal was drafted up high for a reason, right? He's coming along. Andrew Thomas started slow.
Yeah.
But the offensive line at the tackle positions, those are really skills positions. But it takes a minute. And now the line's coming together. They're blocking better for the run. They're protecting the quarterback more. And just like that, the Giants
turn
around.
I told you, though, Max, when you complained about the offensive line and complained about what Gettleman drafted, this guy can't play, and this guy, and I said to you, I said, maybe it's the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there the go, scheme it doesn't allow them, Harry, to use their full potential. And you think about it. I think they went through three offensive line coaches under Judd. Like, come on.
Yeah, but
like,
also, I didn't have a problem with Andrew Thomas. I had a problem with drafting him instead of Justin Herbert.
No, it's
That's
not.
Different than,
it,
you know.
It, well, they had a quarterback.
Well, I didn't think so at the time.
I'm starting
to think so now that they're protecting him a little bit and they got a coach scheming some stuff up even without receivers.
It's all protections. It's all protections.
Yes, and Max, remember we had these conversations about with Brian Daboll when he was in Buffalo and how Josh Allen gets the football out quick. You're not just sitting there patting it, holding on to it, right, to allow playmakers to do their thing. That's the thing with Daniel Jones. You can't allow him to just sit there in the pocket and just pat the football. I'm thinking. Now a turnover occurs. Get the football out to him quick. That's why I love preseason gave us a prenotation that, like, hey, this team is going to get the football out quick, and they're not going to sit back there and hold it. And then Dan Orlowski brought up another good point. When they are going to max protect, well, I'm only going to send two guys out in routes, but I'm going to make sure he does have the protection when he does drop back, was 5 and 7 step drop, and be able to have a clean pocket to deliver the football.
Yes, they dummied it down, simplified it. And doesn't mean that he's not smart. It just means that we're going to simplify things from an offensive standpoint.
Slow it down for
because it could be being like on the Autobahn where it's just flying past you. And that's where he was at. The guys had three head coaches in three different systems.
Not going to work.
It's hard. And now as time goes by, he becomes better. He gets more comfortable. He may never be Dan Marino. Never, ever.
Who is?
But at the end of the day, there's a lot of quarterbacks that play that go on to win championships that get boosted up for obvious reasons that are solid and sound and hit at the right time. If he hit in the playoffs, if they get in the playoffs and he plays his best in the playoffs, that's all that really matters.
Now, I know you two have a combined over two decades of experience playing receiver in the NFL, but I'm some guy with opinions, damn it. So let me tell you something. you know who else has a lot of experience in the NFL? Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst, was on DiPietro and Rothenberg. By the way, I think I called them Rick and DiPietro earlier. DiPietro and Rothenberg. I once did that to a Mason in Ireland.
But his name is Rick.
Yeah, but I called it Rick
show.
And DiPietro.
This first and last name. Yeah.
Mason and Ireland have a great show on LA radio. Key and I are both working at the station 710. And Mace tells me when I first met him, I said, I was like, hey, I'm Max Kellerman. You're Mason Ireland, right? Like I called them both names. I have a problem. All right. Here is Rex Ryan on DiPietro and Rothenberg on the Giants coaching situation.
That was an ideal situation to come into because you got a guy that nobody liked.
Yep.
There wasn't a person in that building that liked him. No fan liked him. And you're walking in saying, all right, let's go. I'm going to be myself. Like, the great thing is about Brian, he can just walk in and be himself because he's a good guy, a genuine guy. I think that's what it was. And it just is like, look, we're going to work our butts off, but – you know, all of a sudden they look like different players, don't they? Because they don't have that freaking anchor that just destroyed that team, you know, for those years. And Brian Daboll, look, and it might not go this well at the end of the year. Like, you know, they might not make the playoffs. But all I know is the cloud and all that has left the building, and it's kind of cool to be a Giant fan.
No, it really right is. Now, but I've been telling you that, though, right? Max, it's like Brian Daboll, Ian, Joe Judge, out.
They didn't like Joe Judge. He said no one in the building liked Joe Judge.
You could when the dude got hired.
Yeah.
First he got hired mysteriously weird because he wasn't ready to. Why are you laughing, Harry?
Well, he had the number one qualification you need to get hired.
What?
He's not Eric Bieniemy.
Oh,
well. That's the main thing. And the new head coaching job, you sit down, Harry. The first thing they say is, we don't like your style. Oh, we don't think you have a good track record. You don't have enough experience. You've never been a coordinator. What do you have going for you? Why should we hire you? I'm not Eric Bieniemy. You got the job. That's how it works. That's how these interviews work. I'm pretty sure.
Key said mysteriously weird.
Yeah, mysteriously weird. Hired. Like, what did he ever do to get hired to begin with? This is not a Joe Judge bashing machine, but in the end, Harry, come on, man.
Like, yeah, you're calling a spade a spade, like, honestly. That's all you're doing.
What did he ever do to get hired? He was a special teams coordinator and a receiver coach. And you know in the league, he wasn't coaching. You think he can coach me or you? Like, let's be honest with each other.
Listen, you know how that's going to go.
Yeah, come on, man. Charlie Williams and Richard Mann and Terry Rubisky and Todd Haley, those are real receiver coaches. That's why we were so ultimately productive when we played. Joe Judge get a job based on the relationship.
Look at the receiving numbers that the Patriots put up every year. Look at these incredible receivers on the Patriots. Tom Brady looked around at the Patriots receivers and said, I got to go. I'm sorry, I got to go.
They figured it out anyway and decided, okay, we're going to package this thing up with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, and we're going to bring them here, and we're going to make it work. Soon as his press conference, I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to be all right.
Yeah,
they're
you could be, tell right as soon as you heard right. the press conference. It passed the smell test.
Certain press conferences for coaches, you know they're going to be all right. You just know. It's like when he had his, Harry, I was like, oh, they're going to be fine.
Oh, pardon me, guys. We have a 7-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion from the New York area hit you with the spin move. You never knew it happened. Dwight Freeney. On with us right now. What's going on, champ?
Nothing much, man. Fellas, how you doing?
What's up?
You're doing well.
What do you think about Brian Daboll and how the Giants won yesterday?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. You know, everybody wants to keep counting out the Giants. You know, I think it's a little bit of PTSD, right? Just all the past issues that they've had. Oh, there's no way they're going to win this game. But they are being galvanized by their head coach, all right? And they believe, and belief means so much in the game of football. And you guys know that is those who played. If you don't believe in the system, if you don't believe in the coach, you're not going to perform at your best. And those guys are. And I think, you know, those guys have a good formula. Hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley and let him do what he does, okay? And pass when we need to pass. But if, with that formula, I think they have a chance to doing something this year. You know, I don't know how far they're going to get. You know, they're really banged up at receiver and all of that. But as of right now, you know, they're looking pretty good.
Being one of the best pass rushers to ever do it, Dwight, 7-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, all of those sort of things. I don't even know how many sacks you had in your career, but it was more than I could count on one hand. That's for damn sure. What did you make of the roughing the passer call in the Tampa Bay Buccaneer Atlanta Falcons game?
Oh, my goodness. Keyshawn, hey, I'm still sick about that. I don't think you guys have enough time on air for me to talk about all of the bad calls as far as roughing the passer. But this one in particular really bothered me. I think, you know, they thought about, hey, what happened to Tua last week? You know, so they figure, okay, you know, we're going to really protect the quarterbacks this year. But these defensive linemen and these linebackers, these guys going out there, they have a job to do, all right? And their job is to tackle the quarterback. If you look at the play, all right, you got Brady running away from Grady, number 97, all right, running away from him. So he grabbed him by his waist. Because he's actually escaping the sack, all right? His momentum kind of like swings his body around, and is the only way to make that tackle is to throw him down because he's running away from him. Like, these quarterbacks do not want to get hit, all right? And I get it. It's Tom Brady. But in the moment – in a big moment in that type of game, you are trying to get the quarterback down however you have to get him down. These guys have a job to do. There was no reckless intent to hurt the quarterback, you know. And I think the league really needs to look at this because it's destroying games. You know, who knows? You know, these guys have jobs to do. You know, they have families to feed. It's not all about the quarterback position. And I get it. You want to protect those guys as much as possible. But this is a violent game. And violent things do happen from time to time, unfortunately. This wasn't a violent hit. I think the ref said, you know, he unnecessarily threw him down. How are you supposed to make the tackle? How are you supposed to make the tackle? What are you supposed to do? Lay him down gently while the game is on the line. Like, what is going on here? Yeah, all right? I just don't understand.
I'm sure the ref will be reprimanded to some degree by the NFL. They'll say something to him privately or whatnot. Dwight, but how does that change the way you approach it, though? You see something like this, you coming off the edge, you spin, you there, you realize, okay, I'm not going to tee off on him. I'm going to gently, lightly take him down to the ground very softly because, whether it's Tom Brady or any other quarterback, how do you approach it?
That's the bad part, man, is that people look at these things in slow motion, Key, and they say, well, he had time to pull up, or he had – listen, most of us D linemen, we are fighting for our life. We are struggling against a guy who is 350, 60 pounds, grabbing, holding, maybe we're fighting through a double team, which takes complete maximum effort. All right. So that all happens within 2.5 seconds. There is split second like reaction time here. So when you have already have given your maximum effort to either bull rush or run around the corner as fast as you possibly can, it is literally impossible to all of a sudden have the thought process when you're going through all of that to then get to the quarterback and say, okay, wait, let's see here. I can't tackle him low. I can't tackle him high. Let me lay him down. You know, let me tuck my shoulder in and give him a nice soft. There ain't time for all of that. You just got to go out and make the tackle. Try your best not to hit him too low, you know, and try your best not to hit him too high. And then you got to pretty much let the chips where they fall. What happens is what happens. You know, there's not unless you're literally untouched and you're running at the quarterback, maybe then you can figure out a way to get him down that is, quote unquote, super legal within the parameters of how you get the guy down. And chances are, if you're thinking about all of that, you probably are going to miss the sack because you're having too much thoughts in your brain and you're sitting there like, oh, don't do that. Don't do this. Oh, there he goes.
Going too fast for all that, right?
Want a big sack.
Yeah, it's going too fast for all that. Going too fast to have a whole conference in your brain before you do any single thing. Dwight Freeney, 7-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion, of course. And by the way, in football, all sports just an imposition of will. Who's going to impose the will on someone else? Combat sports, it's literal. Football, violence is part of it, right? Like if you can sack the quarterback and take something out of him, why wouldn't you do that? Like you're supposed to do that, but apparently not anymore. How do you feel when you hear Micah Parsons being compared to Lawrence Taylor? I have said, Dwight, and by the way, any pass rusher who's real, real good, as you know, is going to be compared to LT. You were one of the people written about in The Blind Side, in Michael Lewis's Blind Side, which was starts out about how LT changed everything, and that's when the left tackle became important. But I've said it. Micah Parsons reminds me of Lawrence Taylor. In fact, and people who have a problem with that comparison, tell me someone else who reminds you more of Lawrence Taylor at this point in his career than Micah Parsons. Can you?
Well, I just, you know, I have a hard time, you know, comparing anybody to LT because LT is just one of those guys that's on another planet in my brain. Sure. You know, I grew up in LT. It's like kind of like the conversation with Michael Jordan when people like to compare people to Michael Jordan.
But you Dwight, know, so hold on, Dwight, real quick. Dwight, you're right. But Kobe was a lot like Kobe reminded us of Jordan for good reason. Now, damn, it's a lot like Jordan.
Yeah, 100%. So I understand the topic, and I get it. You know, it's almost impossible not to kind of bring it up. I just hate it sometimes because it's just, you know, LT is on another planet, and Micah is young guy in his career, still growing, and still trying to be the best he can possibly be. But let's see where he is. I get it. The topic isn't who is better. So I get that. Now, that being said, to your point, because of the fact that Micah plays that linebacker position, he's moving all around. And the way he's being dominant, as of right now, there is no other guy that you can compare anyone closer to LT than him. All right. He's a guy who has an unrelentless motor. He moves from side to side. He goes on the left tackle. He goes on the right tackle. Sometimes he drops back in coverage. All right. He does a lot of things that LT, they would do with LT, find a bad matchup on the offensive line, whoever can't block, and put him there and say, go win. All right. And that is what they're doing with Micah. So absolutely, I agree with you. It's just hard whenever anyone brings up, you know, a great like LT and then they compare. I'm like, oh, don't do that.
Best football player I've ever seen, Dwight. LT, you know, I mean, that dude. And he did it more violently than Parsons. But then again, as you guys were just talking about, you're not allowed to do it as violently anymore, even if you could. All right. That's
exactly. It's a different game, different time. But to your point, I think the closest guy right now for sure is Micah.
Micah. That's Dwight Freeney, ladies and gentlemen. 7-time Pro Bowl defensive end and Super Bowl champion. Thank you. Appreciate it, Dwight.
No problem. Guys, take care.
Guys, if Dak is healthy enough to play in Philadelphia on Sunday night, division rival, division up in, you know, hanging in the balance, right? You could catch the Eagles. Which quarterback should start? Does Dak, I guess you just say whoever gives you the best chance to win that game. Are we sure that's Dak? We're building.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
If I had to pick a team coming out of the NFC, guys, I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. Wow. In all three phases, they're playing really good football.
That defense continued to do what they did all day, which was put a ton of pressure on Matthew Stafford.
You know, it's disappointing to lose football games, there's no question, but I do have a lot of trust and confidence in the guys in our locker room to get this thing turned around.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. You got a phone in your pocket. You can take us anywhere. Listen live. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas in for Jay today is, and by the way, congratulations to Jay Will. We haven't said that really officially on the show yet today. Congratulations, Jay Will, who is for the third time a proud father.
Yes, the third time.
Yes, tremendous. Watching the Giants yesterday, well, it's so funny how it goes from the first time you have a kid and how everything revolves around that to the third time. You know, like, you know, you take a tell a stranger, here, hold this for a second. I got to tie my shoes. It's a baby. Jay was cool, calm, and collected. All right. Yeah, guys, is the Dallas defense going to carry them all season? Is this what this is shaping up to be, one of these teams that rides the defense?
I strongly believe that every championship team has a championship defense. I mean, you look at it in – you know, you got Tom Brady won a championship down in Tampa Bay. Everybody wants to act like it was Brady. It was that defense and Todd Bowles. He made some nice throws. Mm-hmm. He threw for barely 200 yards. He managed the game. But it was the damn defense. Mm-hmm. When San Francisco got there with Jimmy Garoppolo, it was the defense. The Rams won last year because of the defense, not because of Cooper Kupp. Aaron Donald was, you know, Cooper Kupp did good, but Aaron Donald was reckless and made that play at the end of the game. So I think the Cowboys have an opportunity to do something special with the defense, no matter who the quarterback is. As long as they can run the ball and play defense, I think they'll be fine.
They got a special front four, especially. Yeah, yeah, Harry.
You know, I was one of the guys who said before the season that the Cowboys weren't going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Listen, they making me second guess that now, because watching that defense and how that defensive line gets after people, but then being able to have the people on the back end to cover as well. Last year, you know, they gave up some yardage, that secondary. This year, I don't think they're doing so much of that. But that defense is playing that much lights out football that I think this team, if when Dak comes back and if things stays afloat, they can make a deep run.
Look, you got Lawrence. You got Armstrong, you have Michael Parsons, yep. And every now and then they slide in Anthony Barr, move him around. It allows Parsons to move around. Then the back end can hold up, because if you're getting to the quarterback, your secondary, you could have just
it's line
garbage.
Play. Of course,
you could have garbage in the secondary. If they get into that dude, you can hold up back there all day long.
That's why I always feel like
the 49ers last year. The 49ers didn't have a good secondary last year. They had a front seven, though.
Yeah.
The line of scrimmage. That's why the O-line and the D-line, it affects every part of the game. It makes your receivers better, your secondary worse, or vice versa. And Micah Parsons, I know you're trying to shout out other guys too, because you don't, like, you know, like everyone's contributing. But there are some guys that it doesn't have
no,
to be.
No,
a,
no, but it's not that everyone's not contributing. It's just that Michael Parsons makes everybody else better.
Right, that's
no
what I'm saying.
No question about it. But those other guys have still got to get off. They can't get up there and be held up. They still got to beat their man, too.
Like when the Rams got that pass rusher when they had Aaron Donald on that first Super Bowl run.
Joseph Day?
No. The young kid.
Flowers?
Yeah. No. What's his name? You said it almost, but now you knocked it out of my head.
Dante Fowler.
Dante Fowler.
Right, Dante Fowler's good, but on the Rams, he's real good because they have Aaron Donald. Micah Parsons, you already have DeMarcus Lawrence on your line. You add Parsons, that the number one guy I got to worry about is Parsons. Now DeMarcus Lawrence is your second consideration? Good luck. Like, that's something else. Guys, here is Mike McCarthy at the post game presser on his defense's performance.
Defensively, I thought we were outstanding, consistent, you know, in all five games. I mean, they are definitely the straw that's stirring this drink. I mean, they're you know, we felt strongly coming out of last year about our group, and you know, had a great offseason and everything leading up to this. But boy, they're just playing lights out. You know, we expected a heavy run game coming from the Rams, but when we had our opportunity to pressure, I thought our guys were outstanding. Obviously, the three takeaways were huge and a big part of our victory.
And think about when Dan Quinn was orchestrating the Seattle Seahawks defense. A lot of
Correct.
The credit obviously went to Pete Carroll, because Pete Carroll is a defensive-minded head coach. But Dan Quinn and that unit that he had in Seattle was reckless. That's why he was able to get the job in Atlanta. And now he's duplicating the same sort of thing in Dallas, where he's gotten his guys. Two seasons ago, he took over this football team. That was Mike Nolan's personnel. He tried to fit Mike Nolan's personnel into his scheme, and it wasn't working. Now he has his guys from a year ago, the second year in a row in the system. So clearly, right, Harry, they're going to be a different ball team, a different ball club defensively than they were a year ago and even further back.
Well, especially when you had a year under your belt in the system, now guys can play more freely. Now you can move guys around to different spots. You can call more things. But you look at this defense right now, though, Key, they're second in sacks, they're second in creating turnovers, and they're top eight, top ten defense. Listen, I got to give them credit where credit is due. And I was that person that said they weren't going to make the playoffs, and I didn't think this defense could repeat exactly what they did last year. I think they're better than what they were last year.
Yeah, a lot of people, when Dak Prescott got hurt, finished, you know, the season's over. If they told you 8 weeks, the season's over, you're going to Cooper Rush at the quarterback spot, most people would say, yeah, and including me, it was like, it's pretty much over. But then once they said Cooper Rush can win a game, and I said it all along, I said, if he could just beat Washington. Just give me one game, because Dak was originally diagnosed as an 8-week, 10-week guy. Then it became 4 weeks. And I said, just give me one game. If Cooper Rush can give us one game and Dak can come back in a 1-3, something along those lines, 2-4, it's a different situation. But now they're 4-1. With it in the four wins in their back pocket.
I never wrote them off because I felt like Parsons is the best player on the field a lot of weeks. If you like the same thing with the Giants, a lot of weeks Saquon's gonna be the best player on either team. So that gives you a chance, right? If you other things are in place. And they're also like, I think of James Bradbury, who used to be in the was the Giants corner on the Eagles now, right? You don't even have to be the best player. You're a tipping point. Now that you have him, Slayton can go do what he needs to do, and it's a tipping point type thing. Now it all clicks. When you have Parsons in there, it's a tipping point. Now everyone else that you mentioned before, it all works, man. It's a problem since Dan Quinn's installed what he needed to install. Is Dak, if Dak is healthy enough on to play against Philly, I'm not starting him. Not until Cooper Rush loses, but we'll see what happens. What does Derek Carr and the Raiders offense need to do to get back on track against the Chiefs?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Coming up Tuesday, we will have a full breakdown of Monday Night Football. Plus, on the eve of the NHL regular season, Commissioner Gary Bettman joins the show. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Tuesday, 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and now ESPNU. Coming up Tuesday, we will have a full breakdown of Kansas City's win over the Raiders. Plus, on the eve of the NHL regular season, Commissioner Gary Bettman joins the show. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Tuesday, 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. And now ESPNU. Coming up Tuesday, we will have a full breakdown of the Raiders' unlikely win over the Kansas City Chiefs. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Max?
Ah. We're into extra content. Here I am doing reads. We have to record all kinds of stuff. And we're already into extra content.
Yes, we are into traveling around the globe.
Yes, you are globetrotting, or at least country trotting. Nowadays,
Bad travel though.
Yeah, did you have experience any recently?
No, I mean, not recently, but I've had experiences where I've traveled, and whether it was people booking my flights for me and not booking the right way, or hotels, because I'm spoiled when it comes to the hotels.
Bad hotel.
I can't be in a bad hotel deal, man. I don't want to look up and it smells wet and mildewy. I'll leave. I'll get up and check out and go somewhere else in a heartbeat. you walk into the hotel and they got the air conditioned in the wall.
Yeah.
The kind that's in the wall that you have to turn on.
Through the wall AC.
Through the wall. Hey, I get it in certain states, in cities, you know, small cities and states, you tend to get a hotel that you're not used to, and you have to just deal with it because that's what it is. But if I can, Harry, if I can find it, I'm going to do it.
Harry, the first thing I do when I get into a hotel, first thing I do is I take the cover sheet off. I mean, the fitted sheet off. I check for bed bugs. That's number one. I'm not putting my stuff down and putting stuff away until I make sure there's no, because you could see the bed bugs right. Okay, no bed bugs, good. Now we can look at stuff. But even, Harry, I don't know how you are, but even like the remote and stuff, I think of how many people touched it. Before I put any my toothbrush out on the sink, I got to put the towel down, you know what I mean, and put everything on
they
top of that.
They got plastic on them now.
So I'll tell y'all, before COVID even started, though, I was the guy on airplanes and hotel rooms. I disinfect the room before I touch anything in there. Door handles, air conditioned thing on the wall. I wipe everything down. Definitely the remote control, because you don't even know how many people grab that remote control. Restroom. I go to like a pharmacy nearby. I bleach the little tub. I do everything. I do it all.
Full thing, full clean.
I'm picky about hotels and
Harry.
And
didn't you recently
planes.
Have to climb up 20 flights of stairs in a hotel when you came
yes,
to New York?
Yes. They canceled my reservation. It was Bull Jive, and I'm not gonna say the name or anything because we got it fixed and they treat me very well when I go back there now. So I had to go to a hotel across the street, and it was a damn nightmare.
Yeah, 20
yeah, that's
floors
the worst. I stayed at a Station Casino in Vegas one time because I had my 707 team with the kids. And I
Fertitta,
had to stay,
right? In that Fertitta?
Yeah, I had to stay with the kids. I really was at the win, but then all the kids in my 707 was at Station Casino based on the economics.
Yeah.
And they had me staying there because I felt bad. I didn't want to leave them.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to sleep in my clothes, man. The beds just, I couldn't do it.
Not the same as the win, right?
What to say?
And you stay at the special win spot, right? With the special key and everything. Yeah, yeah, it's a nice hotel. Automatic curtains and everything.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, Jalen Hurts clearly better than Carson Wentz. Like, it's not even a thing. Yeah. Jalen Hurts about to get the bag. And when Carson Wentz got the bag, it was like, the other dude just won Super Bowl MVP.
That's Dan's infatuation with Carson Wentz, man. Like,
yeah.
It's not even a question.
A thing for Carson Wentz.
I don't understand when they look at their players, how they miss so badly on guys.
Well, Wentz looked fresh as hell that first time, that first year.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Because if I look at Jalen Hurts and I look at Baker Mayfield, and I look at Kyler Murray, and I go to Oklahoma, and I look at them at Oklahoma, Harry. Mm-hmm. What's different than what they did at Oklahoma versus what he did at Oklahoma? The same stuff.
Right.
So how do you draft those two dudes as number one overall, but you take Jalen Hurts in the second round?
Branding.
It's the craziest thing ever.
Because Jalen Hurts lost the job in college.
Oh,
but that's what
God.
It is. You're saying, how? There it is, right? What
not,
other reason do you
I'm
have?
I'm not looking at him losing the job.
But that's how they're looking at it, right?
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But they keep hiring these dudes.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Guys, the Monday Night Football preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Oh, it's time to get money. Monday Parlay Key. Why don't you set it off? What's the first leg of the parlay we're doing as a show?
I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Passing yardage over 278 in a hook.
Mm.
That's his total passing yards. So
good
right
pass
now,
rush on in Vegas though.
Yeah, that's okay. Nah, not strong enough to stop. Man, he's getting ready to blitz them for about 400 yards.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah.
And to go along with that parlay,
man, he stay ripping their head off.
Come on, man, it's Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes, I think, winds up this season 50 plus touchdowns, single digit interceptions. I'm going for the over on touchdowns. Key. Four more touchdowns, he matches Troy Aikman for Aikman's career, and Aikman is calling the game. I know, different era.
Different
I get
era.
It.
Come on.
I get it. I get it. But for his career. And Aikman was never, there was no one season where everyone said, that's the best player in football. But Mahomes has spent multiple seasons but where people hard, are like, that's the best player in football.
But it's hard to say that when you are playing at the same time as some of the quarterbacks that Aikman was playing.
No doubt, with. But yeah. Mahomes too got Rodgers, Brady, Josh Allen. Everyone knows Mahomes. Aikman's great. Mahomes better than Aikman. Aikman's great. Mahomes better than Aikman.
You tell the playmaker that. He coming in a minute.
No question. I have no problem with that. Aikman's an all-time great, but Mahomes might be the best I've ever seen. All right. That I'm taking the over on touchdown passes, 2.5. I think he's going for at least 3 through the air. What about you, Harry? What do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to go Devontae Adams, over 6.5 catches. When I look at the Chiefs defense, Steve Spagnuolo, he loves to play man coverage, loves the blitz. For Raiders to even have a chance in this game, Devontae Adams is going to have a 10-catch game and probably go for like 200 yards. So that's why I have him over in those regards.
By the way, Mahomes is 7-1 against the Raiders. He averages 318.3 passing yards per game and 2.8 passing touchdowns per game. But maybe he's a little worse at home. He has a 3-1 record at home, so 4-0 on the road. 263.5 yards with 1.8 touchdowns per game at home against the Raiders. Guys, what does Derek Carr, Key, you love you some Derek Carr, and the Raiders' offense have to do to get on track against the Chiefs?
I like Derek Carr.
Oh, you love you some Derek Carr.
I knew it was coming.
Derek Carr's one of your dudes, man. Come on.
Man, y'all be hating on Derek Carr. As if Derek Carr can't play. Man, that
hey,
dude's
Harry,
so solid.
Harry.
No, he acted last year, Key. I remember. I got receipts. I remember receipts, just like Robert Saleh. Your infatuation with Derek Carr last year was on that level.
He's
to the
good.
Love. It wasn't like. It was more so love, Key. I remember.
Oh, God. I've always liked Derek Carr. Y'all be hating
you,
on Derek Carr.
But you have certain guys. Like, you like Matt Ryan. You just yeah. like. You same thing with Derek Carr.
Handoffs.
So, Jalen Hurts. You have certain guys that are your guy. The way I like Joe Burrow. I like that special love for that
have
dude.
Have you seen some of the quarterbacks I played with in my career. I'm like, come on, man. Seriously. But the question is about the offense. What do they need to do? They got, first of all, they need to protect Derek Carr. They need to figure out how to get Devontae Adams involved all the time. Like, he has to get involved in order to help. Waller needs to get involved. Renfro needs to continue to do what he's
What's
doing.
What's that about, Key? Cooper Kupp gets the ball. Right now, Matthew Stafford's throwing a pass to Cooper Kupp somewhere, right? Why can't they get Devontae Adams the ball? That's his dude.
They did it week one, and he threw three interceptions against the Chargers, forcing him to football. Then they pulled back in week two, and he only had 2 catches. But it wasn't his fault they lost against Arizona. Renfro fumbled the football. They was getting ready to go in and score.
Yeah. Harry, what do you think?
I'll say that when you look at the Raiders, I would come up here and say they got to run the football effectively, but the Kansas City Chiefs are the number one rushing defense in the National Football League, so you're going to have to pass. So protecting Derek Carr, finding Devontae Adams on first down, second down, third down, when he's double covered, triple covered, get a man a chance. He's proven time and time again that he can be that guy. Like, I just don't know how they're going to defend the Kansas City Chiefs, though. Patrick Mahomes, the last game, man, he hit 8 different guys, threw a pass to 8 different guys. And the way he's diversifying the football and the way that they're actually playing, I don't see the Raiders even having a chance in this game.
Yeah, I think the Raiders, they're going to run amok on the Raiders. They're going to do something bad. They're going to do something bad to the Raiders.
Yeah.
For real. The Raiders, I mean, I know they won the game in last week, and it looked a certain way. They got off the schneid, so to speak. But Kansas City, when you look at the Chargers bouncing back, you know, Denver struggling, they obviously want to fight for that second and third spot because they're not going to catch Kansas City at the number 2 spot. They're just not.
Also,
at the number 1 spot.
Going into this season, imagine you're Patrick Mahomes. You had the worst season of your career, which is still top 5 in the league, but worst of your career last year. You had the worst performance in any big game of your career in the AFC Championship game. Joe Burrow goes to the Super Bowl, right? And that includes the Super Bowl that he lost because he had no O-line running for his life. He was the most spectacular player in that Super Bowl, Mahomes. But he looked bad against the Bengals. You're coming off that. You hear all the whispers. Josh Allen's favorite to win MVP. Other people who aren't taking Josh Allen are taking either Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson. Those are all the sexy picks. And you're Mahomes sitting there going, I'm better than all these. I'm the baddest dude there is. Look at the resume, right? Now the season starts. Oh, Josh Allen's incredible against the Rams. By week 2, Mahomes is favored, right? Now Lamar jumps out in front. Oh, my God, Lamar said it. Now who's favored to win? Like, all Mahomes does is kill the game, and he knows there are three dudes in his conference that people are now looking at before him a lot of times: Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert. And I think he's going to make a statement on a nationally televised primetime game tonight in front of Troy Aikman. He's going to throw probably four touchdown passes and catch him right, maybe five, and pass him right in front of Troy Aikman on Monday Night Football. It's like too perfect.
How long did Troy play? 11 years, 12
more
years?
More than 10.
He played a long time.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, though. But if you wasn't throwing the ball to the playmaker or Novacek, he was handing
Alvin
it
to Harper.
Him.
Yeah.
Well, Freaky Harp wasn't there before a hot second, though.
No, it's a different time.
Yeah, the playmaker was the one. He was the one getting all the rocks, and the playmaker was getting the ball, and they was turning around handing it to Emmitt.
Yeah. I mean, also, in this day and age, all the passing records going to happen with the more modern offenses because they pass the ball.
But I'm just saying, Patrick Mahomes only been in the league like 6 years.
Four as a starter.
No, longer than that.
Well, this is his fifth. This is his fifth as a starter, but he has four complete as a starter.
Dude got 167 touchdowns.
Woo. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Greeny coming up right now.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.